Jesus stated that it will be business as usual right up until he catastrophically intervenes again in the affairs of mankind. What did he mean by that? We'll talk about it this hour.
Approximately 2,000 years ago, Jesus' disciples came to him with this question: when will the end of this present evil age come? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus then began explaining what would happen during the end times preceding his return. Even though the Bible does not give a specific date for when Christ will come back to earth, it does predict what conditions will be like at this pivotal time. Fast forward nearly 2,000 years later, and we find that the world is seeing all these predicted end time signs happening, just as Jesus predicted. God always gives us signs and warnings before he is about to do something.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's guest this hour, author and commentator from Rapture Ready, Terry James. Terry has recently published Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. Terry's new book is designed for those readers in this generation who are confused or fearful about what may happen in the years to come. Terry and Jan will discuss the contents of Rapture Ready or Not in light of current events. They'll unpack the themes that'll impact the generation not ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Here now is Jan Markell.
Well, the earth is shaking in Southern California, at least 30 quakes striking since Tuesday night.
A pair of strong earthquakes, both measuring more than 6.3 on the Richter scale, has leveled at least six villages in northwestern Iran and damaged dozens of others. Iranian state TV has reported a heavy death toll.
In breaking news coming in, a strong earthquake with a magnitude of 7.5 struck off the eastern Russian coast to the north of Japan, but no tsunami warning was issued.
Paris, San Bernardino, Jerusalem, Brussels. It seems not a day goes by without another murderous assault on innocent civilians. These attacks only seem to be getting more brazen, more coordinated, and more effective. People all over Europe are worried, and with good reason. It seems governments all throughout the European continent have been ill-prepared to deal with the growing threat of radical Islamic terrorism.
And welcome to the program. And by the way, have you noticed that all nations are having distress with perplexity? Luke 21. All nations have dilemmas for which there are simply no solutions. And that's the meaning of distress with perplexity. Everyone who is watching the signs of the times has a sense of urgency, a sense that there is a countdown, a sense that things are not the same and will never be the same again. I'm going to talk about that this hour, reminding you that things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. And that's what my guest and author, co-founder of the Rapture Ready website, Terry James, believes as well, that we are watching the puzzle pieces all fit perfectly into place. My ministry is carrying his newest book, Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. We'll give you information on how you can order that just a little bit later. Terry James, welcome back to the program.
Well, Jan, thank you so much. It's always such a fun time to be with you on the radio.
Terry, one word, just one word, and we could probably talk for an hour on that, and that would be convergence. You and I have been watching this for a fair number of decades. What are your thoughts about the convergence?
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. Everything, every direction you look, you know, Jesus said, as recorded in Luke 21:28, when you see all these things are beginning to come to pass, and look up your head, for your redemption is drawing near. And every direction we look on the prophetic horizon, we see things happening precisely like Jesus forewarned in the Olivet Discourse and like the Old Testament and New Testament prophets told us about. All these things come together, and that word is convergence. I think that is a major word for our time in Bible prophecy.
And I want to stay on this distress with perplexity for a few minutes here, because, again, that's Luke 21:25. There shall be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress with perplexity of nations, the sea and the waves roaring. And that literally means problems for which there are no solutions. And you say this, you say news out of every nation proves just how crazy life on earth has become. Threats of every sort lurk in far distant places and more often directly assault much nearer to where we live. Terry, again, convergence, distress with perplexity, all the nations having some sort of dilemma. Again, in your lifetime and mine, perhaps not that we can remember, correct?
Exactly. I agree wholeheartedly, Jan. It's just no matter which direction you look in, you can name every continent, and there's a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw the CNN homepage. This is a few weeks ago. It was right after the Dallas tragedy with the policeman down there. The CNN homepage, huge, and it just had the following words on it. Is there a leader who can stop the chaos? I think that is the sentiment almost around the world, and I believe he's waiting in the wings, don't you?
I do. You know, we go back to that Henry Spock said years ago. You know, send us a man who can solve these problems, be he man or be a devil, we'll accept him with open arms. And certainly the world is looking for that rider on the white horse of Revelation chapter 6, basically.
Yeah, Spock said that he was a NATO spokesman, I believe. Might have been head of NATO. I'm not sure, but it's so many years ago. And I've only seen it in print. But he said, give us a man, be he a god or devil, we will receive him. And all of this, just instability, prepares the way for the Antichrist. And I believe, as Ron Rhodes does, Terry James, that the devil has had an Antichrist waiting in the wings always, because he doesn't know when the very end of the end happens to come.
I think you're right. I think there's no doubt about it. History shows the great tyrants of the times, and a lot of them came in actually on promises of making things right for their people.
Yeah.
And, we just look at Hitler as one of the, you know, prime examples, Mussolini too, and they come in promising peace and prosperity, you know, a Volkswagen in every garage and so forth. But it always ends up the same, because man's mind is fallen, and Satan always has just a certain person for any era, I believe, ready to redirect their minds toward evil.
Whether it's terrorism, police shootings, economic turmoil, we've got nations collapsing, my goodness, Venezuela, Mideast nations, we've got disease, we've got refugees, we've got Brexit, we've got racial strife, we've got monetary madness, and you write about a lot of these things in this new book, Rapture Ready or Not. I want to play, though, it's just about a 2-minute soundbite of Pastor Tom Hughes. He's pastor of 412 Church in California. I think he sums this up well, and it reminds me of some of the articles you have posted on your primary website, which is raptureready.com. And Tom, just, he starts talking about the issues of the day, and I feel like I'm reading Rapture Ready.
People from all backgrounds believe something big is coming. They're uncertain about the economy and question the leaders that they have chosen. In the United States, liberals and conservatives alike are voicing their distrust and disdain for the direction their leaders have taken them, and civil unrest is increasing everywhere there's a political gathering. And it's not just the United States. Europe is done with their leaders, who they believe have lied to them. As they watch Europe implode, their leaders seem to do nothing except welcome more terrorists. But underlying those things are perilous events that are shaking the world and rattling nerves. Massive earthquakes have struck Japan and Ecuador and other regions along the Ring of Fire, with a threat of much more to come. And then listen to this. There are currently 38 active volcanoes worldwide. 38! And then add to that the ever-increasing Zika virus, as it is getting stronger, plus a yellow fever outbreak in Angola that is reported could be a threat to the entire world. Listen, if that was all, that would be enough. But there is more, much more. Wait till you hear what is happening worldwide right now. Listen, what's going on, and what does the Bible say about these things? We're about to find out. The Bible says, know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. Are we in those times? Are we in the last days? I believe that we are. Listen, the word for perilous that the Bible uses in that passage, it comes from a Greek word that means dangerous or troublesome or a time of reducing strength. A time of reducing strength. Listen, our world seems to be in that time. Just listen to some of the headlines from some of these articles. Here's one of them. The big ones. Scientists warned up to 4 quakes over 8.0 are possible under current conditions. Here's another article. Shake and bake. Quakes, volcanoes in sudden eruption spree. And then here's another article. Will Yellowstone erupt in 2016? Shock video shows dramatic shift in seismic activity. And then we add to that, listen to this, a yellow fever outbreak. This is reported by The Independent. Yellow fever outbreak in Angola is a threat to the entire world. Wow, I look at these things and I cannot help but think that these are perilous times, dangerous and troublesome times.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Terry James, and he's got a new book that we are carrying, Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. You can find it in my store, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. You can call my office. We can get it out to you. It'll be in our next print and e-newsletter as well. And Terry James, and I want to stick on the theme of perilous times here for just another couple of minutes, but why the subtitle 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind? And I know you're listing the 15 reasons, but why do you think this is the generation that will be left behind?
Well, the primary reason, if you want to get down to the bottom line, primary reason is I believe Israel and where we stand with regard to Israel and the nations putting pressure on the international community, putting pressure on Israel to give up land for peace. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, that because you've divided my land, I will bring all the nations of the world into the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which, of course, is the area of Megiddo, of Esdraelon, and so forth, of Jezreel, and Megiddo, and it's Armageddon. I say Israel being in the limelight. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, said that Israel and Jerusalem will become a cup of trembling and a burdensome stone to the whole world. Anybody that tries to change things there will be in great trouble with the Lord, and for that reason, he will again bring people into a place called Armageddon. And so if I wanted to boil all of this down, all of these 15 reasons down, well, it would come down to this final one, that is that Israel is in the center of all controversy, just as God said it would be at the very end of the age before Christ's second advent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, and we cover that quite frequently on this program, but I'm going back here just because I don't quite want to leave the 2 Timothy 3, character of man. One of the greatest indicators, at least I think the decline of the character of man, that we are in a final generation. And you talk about in this new book, you talk about that reprobate mind. And I found it interesting because you said the reprobate mind thinks exactly upside down. In other words, black is white, white is black, and good is evil. And global warming is more serious than Islamic terror. And that so describes the secular humanist mindset today. And sadly, they're trying to get control and having a fairly successful effort at getting control of our country with this kind of reprobate mind thinking.
Well, of course, Paul said, as recorded in Romans chapter 1, that that's what happens when you push God away.
Right.
That's what the final analysis is. That's what's happened to Satan, actually. He still thinks he can win, despite knowing God personally, and that God can never do anything wrong. He can never lie. Satan knows that. And yet, he still thinks he can win. Well, what kind of upside-down thinking is that?
That's true.
That's what the ultimate refusal to accept God's word and to move away from the Lord is all about. It develops this upside-down thinking, and that's exactly where we are. I do a chapter in there called Want to See Some Nasty End-Time Pictures. Now, that's a provocative title.
Yeah.
Most of those titles you see are provocative. I did that on purpose. I wanted to attract a younger readership, and that was one way we thought we might do it. Want to See Some Nasty End-Time Pictures. And in that chapter, I deal with Paul's perilous times of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We talk about how people will be lovers of their own selves. Well, I think one reason, and it may seem innocuous, innocuous. It might seem silly, but I think one way we can see just how much this generation has turned inward is to look at these devices that young people have. You look at the selfies they take. They call them selfies. You know, they like to photograph themselves, and then they build their own narratives or their own biographies to make themselves look however they want each other to look. We have a president of the United States who does this.
Yeah.
He takes selfies. And, you know, that may seem silly, but I think it is very indicative of where we are. Another thing we see is without natural affection. Paul said that the character of man would be without natural affection. Well, there's two primary things that I see. One is homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's unnatural. The other thing is abortion. Well, what more natural process is it than a baby's protection in his mother's womb? And yet they're giving their babies over to abortion clinics, you know, for the sake of convenience for the most part. 58 million babies since Roe v. Wade in 73 or so have been aborted. So we cover that in this book, Paul's Perilous Times. I think it's a very, very timely topic.
I do too. And you say, and I'm quoting you here, "We are indeed in Paul's perilous times. This generation is facing a most evil day. We had better gird for the evil men and seducers, which include the mainstream media, who are out to remove every trace of morality from the face of America and the world. But the same apostle who forewarned of this very hour was given the following from the Holy Spirit to comfort and reassure Christians alive in these troubling but exciting days. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." 2 Timothy 1:7.
Thank God, because, you know, these are fearful times.
Yeah.
And we could, you and I, Jen, I know even we who watch these things can become fearful.
That's right.
We're not careful and not see that God is in charge. He's in control. And that's very comforting. You know, Paul said to look for Jesus' return in Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and so forth. And then he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. So God has given us an ultimate promise. He'll keep us out of the very hour of testing, Revelation 3:10. So we can trust our God to take care of us. And that's very comforting.
Right. But you bring out in this book that the season of his return, it's going to be sort of a business as usual. Explain what you mean by that. It's important. Here's my dilemma. Our headlines are not business as usual. Our headlines are stunning. And so I'm wondering how you come up with the conclusion that he's going to return in a season where the mindset is going to be business as usual.
Well, business as usual for the times. I mean, every time, every era has its own set of norms of the time, which is, I believe, are very upsetting. The times are very upsetting, but it's still times as usual. People are still buying.
Yes, they are.
They're still selling. They're still giving in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, they're giving in marriage more than in every way possible, I think. And it is business as usual in that sense. The human condition still remains that people are doing business as usual. Now, Jesus said it's going to be just like that. In other words, it's going to be business as usual. And of course, we know that he's going to come back at a time when the tipping point has been reached. God's cup of wrath and so forth is full, and it's time to start judging. Jesus said it'll be just like that at a time when he next catastrophically intervenes into the days of mankind. Now, we know that at the second advent, 7 years at the end of the 7 years tribulation period, that era we call Daniel's 70th week, we know it will not be business as usual.
Yeah, that's right.
As many as 3/4 of the world's population will have been killed through judgments, through catastrophes of various sorts, and God's judgment and Antichrist's wrath. But God's judgment and wrath, there'll only be a very scant few people left on earth at that time, so it will not be business as usual. Jesus had to be talking about the time of the rapture. Now, seminarians would argue that point, and I would have to say they're wrong, because it doesn't make sense for Jesus to say that at a time you think not, the Son of Man cometh, whenever the people of the tribulation era, believers, that is, those who the saints of the tribulation era, will be able to count down almost to the day when Christ will return as the second advent, as we see in Revelation 19:11. But Jesus said, in a time you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so he has to be referring here to the rapture, not to the second advent. And I believe we're right there, right now.
Well, here's where I want to go, Terry James, and that's who I'm talking to for the hour. I want to go. I'm going to take a short time out when I get back. I want to talk a little bit, because you made reference a minute ago to the super sign, and that would be Israel. But surrounding Israel is the mindset is the constant cry for peace and safety, peace and security. I want to talk about that for just a minute or two. I also want to talk about a little bit on the attack on the pre-trib rapture, because I'm always teaching on that. And you and I both get a ton of emails where people want to take us to task, like we're president of the Flat Earth Society or something, for believing what we do. And I want to talk about that for just a minute or two as well when I get back. And I will be back, folks, in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
You're listening to a radio program for people who want to keep aware of current events in light of the Bible. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
We know you're enjoying Jan's discussion this hour with Terry James. You can order a copy of Terry's new book, Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. Just log on to olivetreeviews.org, then click on the store tab at the top of the page. Telephone orders are accepted at 763-559-4444. Through a variety of ways, we hear from our listeners all year long. We are so thankful for our growing audience. Across this nation, you have made Understanding the Times one of the most listened to weekend programs. We just want to say thanks. Christmas brings family and friends together. It helps us appreciate the love in our lives we so often take for granted. May the true meaning of the holiday season fill your heart and home with many blessings. From all of us at Understanding the Times Radio, we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. We pray that you will have a blessed Christmas and a rich, Christ-filled New Year. More conversation with Jan Markell and Terry James when we return right after this. Why not plan on joining Remnant Believers Saturday, October 7, 2017 for our annual Understanding the Times conference just outside of Minneapolis. There is no cost or registration needed. Meet like-minded believers from across America who are wanting to understand the times while they look up for His return. Next fall, we will once again feature Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel in Hawaii, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and Michelle Bachman. The one-day event will sharpen your worldview, help you become watchmen on the wall, and equip you to deal with our darkening headlines. We always bring you the ultimate hope in the darkness. The location is the same, Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Watch our website, olivetreeviews.org, our newsletters, and listen for updates right here on Understanding the Times Radio. Hotels are already posted at our website. You can call us for more details at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Don't be left behind. Be ahead of the news. And join us October 7, 2017, just outside of Minneapolis.
My name is Beth Ann, and I just want to say how the Olive Tree Ministries has blessed our family. We listen on Saturday mornings, and just to learn about what's happening in our world and how it's relevant to today and what's going on in, with Revelation and how it ties in. It's just been such a blessing, and my kids are on fire. They're telling their kids at school, and so I'm just really blessed and happy to be a supportive of this ministry.
Understanding the Times has impacted my life by helping me discern what's going on in the world with a Christian worldview, because you can't get it anyplace else except through Jan, through her headlines, or through the conferences, or her e-blast. So tune in and be informed.
Hi, my name is Bill Koenig, and I am a strong and longtime supporter of work that Jan Markell does at Understanding the Times. I have been so blessed through the years of the association, and also the fact that she has the guts and boldness and courageous in Jesus to speak the truth. And we need that truth today. And it's a discerning ministry, but it's also one that fully does understand the times that we're living in.
Today is an historic day. It is a great honor for us to announce that we have reached an agreement on the Iranian nuclear issue. With courage, political will, mutual respect, and leadership, we delivered on what the world was hoping for, a shared commitment to peace and to join hands in order to make our world safer.
Author and commentator Terry James is Jan's guest on today's Understanding the Times. Their conversation centers on a new book from Terry titled Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. Terry has produced numerous books on Bible prophecy. Hundreds of thousands have been sold worldwide. Now let's go back to the discussion. Once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. I'm spending the hour with a good friend, Terry James. He's co-editor, along with Todd Strandberg, of Rapture Ready website, raptureready.com. If you want the latest and the best news updated just about every day, every other day, on news that pertains to the end of time, usually from a very positive perspective, check that website out. And Terry James has a new book, 15 Reasons This is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. And I gave a little tease in that last segment, but I wanted to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about the cry for peace and safety. And I made reference in that first segment to even CNN, who came out on their homepage and said, who is the leader that can get rid of all this chaos in the world? And whether they mean a president or the head of an EU or whatever, they're crying for a man with a plan, or maybe they're thinking of Hillary Clinton, a woman with a plan, I don't know, but they're thinking that the world needs a leader. But unfortunately, the kind of leader they want is probably the Antichrist, however they don't know that. So we've had some startling events here in the last few weeks. We've had an attempted coup in Turkey. I want to talk to Terry James about that. But Terry, let's go back just for a minute for the super sign, which is Israel. And again, we know that they are crying for peace and safety. The whole world is crying for peace and safety. You talk about it in this book, and I believe that the rapture is going to cause the greatest turmoil on the face of the earth, and that is going to result in the greatest cry for peace and security ever.
That's what's going to bring Antichrist to power, yeah. I think, because he's going to be the man with the plan, as our friend Dave Breeze used to say. Now, he's the man with the plan, and that rapture is going to cause, I believe, such chaos and carnage when Jesus calls the church, come up hither. I think that that's going to definitely cause this cry for peace and safety to really increase. But, Jan, we're seeing that cry already. I mean, that's what this peace process is all about. This desire to get Israel to give up land for peace. In the book, Rapture Ready or Not, I give a chapter there that deals with this, Recall of History's Most Deadly Product. That deals with the peace and safety issue, more specifically. I believe the greatest recall in history is that call for the doing away with the nuclear weaponry. You know, when the genie escaped the bottle in Alamogordo, New Mexico in 1945, when they invented the atomic bomb. From that point, that gave the diplomats of the world, and I believe satanic forces of the world, this cry for peace and safety that has grown from that. People want that genie back in the bottle. It's not going to happen, of course.
No.
But that's what they use as their platform in saying they believe that Israel is possibly the greatest ignition point for World War III. And they want that genie back in the bottle. So I think this is one of the big fears, because of the wars and carnages and because of nuclear exchanges that's going to take place after the rapture, that there'll be this call for peace and safety, a recall. The recall will be to do something to control this nuclear capability and so forth. And in the book, I sort of equate that to, you know, when a company recalls a product, they want to do it to preserve life and so forth. And I think that's what at least Satan's minions, the globalists, are going to claim.
Yeah. Let me play a 1.5 minute soundbite to back up what we're saying, Terry James.
That we live in
peace and security.
The lesson of history is that peace and security do not come easily.
Peace and stability that people on all sides long for.
Two states for two peoples living side by side in peace and security is not a vague slogan, but a real necessity for the stability in the entire region.
Israel and Palestinians, they can live side by side in peace and security. This is our vision, and this is our a commitment
of a new deal, peace and security and friendship
She's in you.
My hopes and dreams for Israel are to live in peace. To live in peace and security.
Two states living side by side in peace and security. True security for all Israelis. We will also pursue peace between Israel and Lebanon.
In peace and security.
Israel and Syria.
Peace and security.
And a broader peace between Israel and its many neighbors. Must decide whether we are serious about peace and security. To recognize Israel's legitimacy and its right to exist in peace and security. That's how we will find new pathways to peace and security. That is the work that we must do.
In peace and security.
Peace and security and coexistence.
A movement towards peace. If we have this triangle, economy, security, and peace, then peace can succeed.
Harry James, it's almost a mantra.
It is, and you know, that's exactly what Revelation chapter 6 tells us, that when the seals are open, that man comes riding forth on a white horse, a platform of peace. And he has a quiver, but there's no arrows in it. Got a bow, but there's no arrows in it, which most believe that means that it's an indicator of peace and security. That same man we see in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, will make a covenant of peace and security for 7 years with Israel and the surrounding neighbors and the whole world, as a matter of fact. And that's what it's all about, a call for peace and safety, King James called it. And, of course, the diplomats of the world calling it peace and security, same thing.
And yet, Terry James, the areas surrounding Israel are inflamed with literally satanic rage. I mean, we've got ISIS on the move over there. We've got Hamas, Hezbollah. I could go on and on. We've got Palestinian Authority, Hamas. I mean, you can list alphabetically the organizations and the outfits that are stirring up trouble. And so the satanic rage threatens the stability of the entire world, not just the Middle East.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why the diplomats of the world are concentrating on that area. They want to assure the world that they are in control and that they deserve to have the leadership role and so forth. And, of course, I think there's a much, much deeper motive they have, and that is to establish one world order overall. They're using this peace and safety as a call to do that. And I'm telling you, the terrible anxiety is being created. It's far beyond what we are hearing on the media, I think, among the common people, even here in America. I think with all of the ISIS, all the killings and the way they kill. So I think we're seeing things ratchet up in that regard with the call for peace and safety for the wind-up of the age.
Let's talk about that for just a minute, because you referenced the globalism, the global elite, etc. I'm going to be talking to Gary Kaa about some of this globalist effort as well. And you write about it, and the fact that there's a push for this one-world system like never before. I mean, we've got Barack Obama who's behind this, even Pope Francis, obviously the United Nations. We've got Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. We could go on and on with the efforts that are sort of in the infancy right now to push for that one world system. And then there'll be, of course, there'll be Antichrist heading that up. But talk to us a little bit about it, because you've written on it in your book, Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind.
Jan, I think we sometimes hear the question at prophecy conferences and so forth. Why is the United States not mentioned in Bible prophecy? It's the most stupendous nation ever to be on the planet. I mean, any way you look at it. And, you know, with the exception of Israel, there's never been a nation like America on the planet, and yet it's not mentioned in Bible prophecy. Well, I think this gets right to the heart of what happens to America, and we see it happening every day. What did current president come in on? What kind of a slogan? It was hope and change. What kind of change? We've seen that change. We've seen it in a big way. Tear down the sovereignty of America. Until America's sovereignty is torn down and the nations of the world are unlinked from the American dollar in every sense, and there's a complete rearrangement of particularly of global economics, this nation is going to be a holdup to that transformation into this new world order that they want, and I believe their master Lucifer wants. And so America is a holdup. Now, in my own opinion, America is still primarily the holdup because there are still a nucleus of Bible-believing Christians, born again born-again Christians in this country, and the Holy Spirit resident within these Christians, within the born-again believers, still holds some sway over the autonomy and the sovereignty of this nation being upheld to some extent to this point. Now, when the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit removes in that office as restrainer, and since America does have a considerable percentage of Christians, nothing like I think we sometimes like to exaggerate and say, but we do still have a considerable number here, and when that restraining influence is gone, then I think America's sovereignty is going to fall, and this global conglomerate that the world has been clamoring for, the world of the elitists have been clamoring for, will shape up rather quickly.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Terry James. He's an author, commentator. You see him on some of the eschatology programs on television, hear them on the radio, and I've had him on, as a guest on the program half a dozen times at least over the years. And Terry, I want to move briefly here because you actually spend a chapter talking about the Bear Nation, and I believe you would suggest that that would be Russia. And you talk a little bit about the forthcoming Gog-Magog invasion of Israel. Here we are back in the Middle East again. We can't seem to get out of it, but the nations participating in that, from Russia to Iran to Turkey and others, and we've just had an attempted coup in Turkey. I watched it with sort of bated breath because I wasn't sure where it was going. I sort of came to the conclusion that the good guys lost in Turkey. They were trying to stop it from going radical Islam, and they didn't win. Erdogan won. I think now the caliphate is virtually insured, and the possibility of Gog-Magog with Turkey as a part of it, Beth Togarma, is probably a guarantee as well. We don't know that Erdogan is a part of that. He's certainly very Gog-esque. Vladimir Putin is very Gog-esque. Let me get your take on that.
Well, I agree with you, Jan. I think that just like so many things we see, this is a part of a shakeup we see taking place almost on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
And I think Turkey's coming into the picture here, moving away from Western influence and more into the Islamic, because Erdogan has tried to completely dismantle everything that Ataturk tried to do with making it a more secular state that could get along with particularly the Western cultures and so forth. And Erdogan has slowly and then more rapidly taken it away, as you've said. And now I don't see that there's going to be much resistance to his making it a complete Islamic-run government, and that will, I think, as you say, put forth real impetus and a real heartland, if you want to say that, for the development of the caliphate. Certainly, Turkey is listed as one of the primary movers and shakers to come down into the Middle East in the Ezekiel 38-39 prophecy, along with Gog, Magog, which we believe is Russia, and then, of course, Persia, it says, which is Iran, and it's so interesting. Again, we're talking about shakeups. Well, my goodness, what have we seen in the last couple of years is Russia come down into the Middle East. They're in Syria and so forth. Persia and Russia forming an alliance more or less with regard to nuclear development and other things, and they more or less come together. They coalesced. And that's exactly what this is going to be, is a coalition of nations of Gog, Magog, Russia and Persia, of Iran and of Turkey now, and Libya and all these others. And all of the Islamic nations, of course, are going to follow suit and join them at some specific time in the future. But we just see it shaping up in such a fashion, not only around the world, but right here in the Middle East is where it's all going to be concentrated in again. And we see that just coming to a pinpoint right there.
Well, there's more I want to talk about, Terry. I'd like, in our closing segment, I want to talk to just a little bit about the rapture, and I made a reference a few minutes ago to the attack on the pre-trib rapture. I actually want to read a paragraph or two from what you write about that. Did you ever expect to see in your lifetime the attack upon the pre-trib rapture that has happened in the last 20 years or so?
No, and it really stepped up within the last 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
From my perspective, I'm told anyway, I don't know, I'm sure you've had some of the same thing, I'm told that I'm leading people to hell by teaching a pre-tribulation rapture. Now, as I say in the book, I've never figured out what they mean by that. I can't understand how I can lead somebody to hell by teaching the pre-tribulation rapture. They also say that by teaching the pre-tribulation rapture, that people, that I'm going to mislead people, yeah, they won't be able to recognize the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. Now, I can understand that argument intellectually, but it makes no sense, because we're told by Paul not to look for Antichrist, but to look for Jesus Christ, our blessed hope, Titus 2:13. And so that argument does not hold water, so far as I'm concerned, but yet there, they're not only throwing mud balls at us, but they have rocks in the center of the mud balls.
Yeah, they do. They do. Folks, you can get this book at my store at olivetreeviews.org. You can give us a call. And it's called Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. And I've read it almost, I've read 90% of it, and it is outstanding as far as,
well, thank you,
as far as sort of giving warnings for what we should be watching for. He's got some outstanding chapters in there that I was glued to for several hours, and so I highly recommend it. If you want a book that you can pass on to somebody who's trying to understand the times, this would be a book that you can do that with. It's not so over people's head that they're going to get terribly confused. We're not going to talk about the bowls and the judgments and the vials of Revelation. It's kept very, very simple, very easy to understand. When I get back, we're going to have our closing segment, which is very short, and I want to wrap up our discussion by talking about just a couple of other issues before time gets away. So I'm going to ask you to not go away and not touch your dial. I'm coming right back.
There are few places where you can hear the kind of material you're getting here today. That's why it's so important to keep understanding the times on radio stations all over this nation. People need to hear a solid Bible commentary every week. They need this resource to help them understand today's world through the lens of Scripture. We invite you to consider becoming a financial partner with this listener-supported broadcast ministry. From coast to coast, we need listeners like you to get behind us with your prayers and financial gifts. You can help us to continue to deliver a weekly program that interprets our times with a biblical worldview. You can give securely online at olivetreeviews.org. You can give by calling 763-559-4444 or write with your gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. During this season of giving, we encourage you to slow down and enjoy the simple things. May this wonderful time of the year touch your heart in a special way. Wishing you much happiness today and throughout the new year. From all of us at Understanding the Times Radio, Merry Christmas, and may God richly bless all of you during this holiday season.
The new year is fast upon us, and what a year 2016 has been. Gog and Magog may be stirring in the Mideast. Israel is more isolated than ever, as predicted. We had a Washington shakeup on November 8th. Europe is questionable thanks to the Brexit action in June. Christians and Jews are on the run like never before. Thanks for your support of this ministry and radio outreach in 2016. The costs of airing on over 800 radio outlets are staggering, but you made it possible. If you would like to give a year-end tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, won't you write us, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us business hours 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. We promise to keep monitoring today, but we'll always keep an eye on tomorrow as we anticipate his very soon return. This is Jan Markell. Silence on the uncomfortable themes facing our world is not defending the truth. The inconvenient truth must be told if we are to understand our times. Thank you for being with us each week here on this radio station.
Is the concept of a pre-tribulation rapture a genuine biblical hope, or is it wishful fantasy? Some say there is not one verse in the Bible that sustains it. Others claim that the concept is too new to be true. What about it? Is it a myth or a reality?
Understanding the Times Radio continues. Let's go back now to Terry James and Jan Markell.
and I like to keep in touch with you. I can do that through a print newsletter, e-newsletter. You can get a CD of any program, become a CD subscriber for $15 a month, but you do have to call us on that. Visit me on my Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, on Twitter, follow us at Olive Tree Min. And if you write to us, and particularly if you send any kind of gift, be sure to tell us what station you're listening to so we can credit that properly. I'm talking for the hour with author and commentator Terry James because he has a new book, Rapture Ready or Not. You can contact him at his website, raptureready.com. And I had given a little bit of we were discussing briefly anyway, the attack on the pre-trib rapture. I want to read a paragraph. Terry writes this in the book. He says, it is not the emails from Christian haters mocking us for believing in something as foolish as Christ's return and utter prophecies that are the most cutting. The emails that scoff most are from professing fellow believers in Christ. These emails are usually from those who almost without exception begin with a statement something like, I used to believe in the pre-trib view of the rapture, but I have since stopped listening to what men, meaning prophecy teachers like you, Terry, say and read for myself that the Bible teaches believers will go through the tribulation. And then you say this, Terry, these then berate me for teaching that the rapture will save Christians from the horrific things prophetically scheduled to precede Christ's second coming. And they then most often say I'm leading people to hell with my false teaching. And you say you've never figured that one out. They also charge with hostility in their words that we who teach the pre-trib rapture are causing believers in Christ to be in danger of not recognizing the Antichrist. When that beast of Revelation 13 comes into the world, seeing this accusation, I understand on an intellectual level, at least the indictment is, however, groundless. And some of the reasons, Terry, I believe that it's groundless is the church is absent after Revelation 3. There's the concept of imminency or at any moment that the Lord will return, which you just can't work that into a mid or post-trib scenario. All the verses, Terry, that talk about escaping the wrath to come, and that's God's wrath, and I think that's the big breakdown. They are seeing the wrath as man's wrath because we are under man's wrath, but God is saying that the wrath that we're to escape is his wrath. I think that people today who are assaulting the pre-trib rapture do not understand that mankind has to come under the wrath of man. That's going on. The believers in the Middle East are under terrible wrath, but they are not under God's wrath. That comes out in the tribulation. And he says in Revelation 3:10, he says, since you have kept my demand to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth, Revelation 3:10. In other words, the wrath that's about to be unfolding in the tribulation, God says, you're going to be spared from that wrath to come. That's all I'm saying, is Revelation 3:10 says it all.
That's exactly right. And, they're all such, you know, they're mid-trib, pre-trib.
Yeah, I know.
Pre-wrath. And all of that. And the pre-wrath advocates always say, that we will be raptured just before God's wrath begins. Well, I'd have to ask, when does God's wrath begin? Jesus was given the scroll, the seven-seal scroll to unseal, and he unsealed the very first one, and Antichrist comes forth, the rider on the white horse, the second, followed up quickly by war. This is wrath, and then the entire tribulation era unscrolls from that very first scroll, not from somewhere in the middle of that scroll. Everything changes from that point forward, and 21 specific judgments, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls unsealed. And very end plays out. It gets worse and worse. Almost all of the earth's population is denuded.
Yeah.
And so, God, it seems to me that wrath begins right from the very beginning, not from somewhere in the middle. Jesus said that the very moment that, just like in the days of Noah, days of Lot, the very moment that he calls the church out in that catastrophic intervention, that very day, just like in Noah's day and Lot's day, that very day, it says, God's judgment fell. And it's going to be just like that, Jesus said. So from the moment of the rapture, all the way through, really, even before this unsealing of the first scroll. That's when God's wrath and judgment of Daniel 70th week begins, and God's judgment really gets underway. But there's going to be tremendous judgment right from the moment of the rapture.
Yes, indeed. Believe. And I think the other thing, too, Terry, is that we're in the age of grace right now. We're in the church age. The church, as I said, is missing after Revelation 3. But the tribulation is for the pagan world, is for the unbelieving, God-rejecting world. It's also to bring Israel to faith. It's for Israel's redemption, because indeed all Israel does get saved during the tribulation. Those that survive are going to become believers because they're going to see him who they pierced, and they're going to mourn for him. But here's the thing, and Terry, if you had an exhortation to pastors today, because they're not talking about the things we've discussed here for almost an hour, they're certainly not explaining the importance of Israel in the Bible or in our current events today, and how they play out in everyday life, an incredible miracle of Israel. But the tribulation is for Israel's redemption, and yet our churches won't talk about that. Our churches don't want to talk about the fact that the king is coming, the greatest news that there is in a generation that's characterized by bad news and troubling headlines.
Amen. And I would tell them that, you know, the Bible, nearly three-fourths of the Bible is prophecy. And half of that prophecy has been fulfilled, and the other half is about to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, as you mentioned, that Israel is on the scene, just as Zechariah the prophet said, and God said would be, could be no wind-up to history, prophetic history, if Israel wasn't on the scene. It came back as a miraculous entity, exactly as God prophesied it would in one day. And so for the pastor to ignore this is just more than tragic. And I personally believe, and I'm not in any way condemning anyone, but I just have to say this. When I stand before Jesus at the Bema, I want to be hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that means that taking the whole world to the whole world, and you can't just take part of it. Bible prophecy is a tremendous part of God's Word.
A huge amount of God's Word. But, you know, I think the second most frequent email I get is, I can't find a church, and I visited everyone in my town who will talk about the things you and I have talked about here for almost an hour. They can't find it. And that wasn't the case when I was a young adult and starting to learn all of this. I think some of the churches were covering it fairly well. I don't know what got into them. Maybe the seminaries took a left turn or something, because they, I think the seminary stopped emphasizing this some 20, 30 years ago.
Well, you know, I think they fell into what I would might call the Laodicean plot, and that to me is kind of, you know, which we're here to build big churches, we're here to edifices, we're here to expand our the people, you know, the number of people in our churches, and we do that by thesis, antithesis, you come up with a synthesis, you invite all the world in. That's what's happened. I think the world has gotten into the churches in a lot of cases,
well,
and Bible prophecy is not a part of their desire to talk about.
Yeah, you have a whole chapter in here on the apostasy, the great falling away of our generation, and I appreciated that. You also have some excellent points on the kind of the rise of the occult, and you give a little history of that, how we've been conditioned today, like the days of Noah, thoughts of mankind are only evil continually.
Yeah.
And then you go on to talk about some of the things that have conditioned us for this.
Yeah.
Some of the films, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist, The Omen, etc.
Yeah, Jesus, you know, said again that it would be like it was in the days of Noah, and by the time he comes back. And that Genesis chapter 6, and that is man's mind was only on evil continually.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very beginning in American culture especially, you know, we go all the way back to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and to Bram Stoker's Dracula. And I have to admit, as a young boy growing up in Pekin, Illinois, and I went to one of the finest churches, Bible-believing churches in the world, had the most wonderful parents and godly parents in the world. Every time the church was open, I was there. Yet, you know, these things got into my mind and heart. I love to go to a Frankenstein movie, to a Dracula movie, Wolfman movie, and all that. But I do think that that's not just, again, innocuousness or silliness. It's a real problem that we've grown up in this culture, and now it's become just part of everyday life. The more evil things are, we look at the Harry Potter series, the more evil things are, and the more anti-God or away from God, marching away from God that we get, forget, well, the more aggrandized these things are. Little movies like the Blair Witch Project, I don't know how much they made it for, $100,000, $200,000 or something, and it grossed $10, $12 million in no time. People flocked to those things. So I think our culture's saturated with this mindset of evil, and it's come through mainly the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
We have a lot of time on our hands in this country, as opposed to some other countries, and too much of our time has been seeped in these things, I'm afraid.
Well, Terry James, thank you. Again, the book is Rapture Ready or Not, 15 Reasons This Is the Generation That Will Be Left Behind. You can find all sorts of places, including olivetreeviews.org. You can get more acquainted with all of this at raptureready.com. I believe you can probably find the book there as well. And Terry, thank you so much. I want to go out of the program just saying this: ready or not, Jesus is coming again, but you can be ready. He is coming back for his bride, and that's the good news of our day. Search as you might, you will not find much better news than that. Imagine, God wants to spend eternity with you. Are you ready? Is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life? Ask him to be that today, and you will be ready, and you'll also be rapture ready. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Costing thousands of dollars each weekend, this listener-supported program is delivered coast to coast and into your home. Would you help us produce and distribute this broadcast? We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events related to Bible prophecy. Week after week, with the blessed hope in view, Jan Markell brings you a compelling program that outlines the dangers in today's world. Once you become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can help underwrite this program securely online at olivetreeviews.org or when you call 763-559-4444. For daily world updates with a biblical worldview, 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week. Meanwhile, please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.